From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The death toll in devastating floods in Pakistan continues to climb. Officials confirm at least 1,000 people have died after a week of heavy rain. Army spokesman Major General Afar Abbas says more fatalities may be discovered when rescue workers finally reach areas now cut off by damaged roads and missing bridges.
The level of devastation is so widespread, so large, that it is quite possible that in many areas there are damages, there are deaths which may not have been reported.
Relief agencies are struggling to help the survivors. Lisa Schlein reports the World Health Organization is urging preventive measures be taken to guard against disease.
The United Nations estimates around 1 million people in northwestern Pakistan are affected. The World Health Organization warns tens of thousands of displaced people in the worst affected areas are at risk of cholera, dysentery, malaria, and other waterborne diseases. WHO officials say they have provided 35 emergency medical kits. Each one is enough for 2,000 people for 2 months. But given the scale of the disaster, they say much more emergency medical aid will be required. WHO officials say vaccinations against some diseases are underway in several areas and others are planned. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
The problem in Russia is not enough water. A record drought and high temperatures have sparked hundreds of fires in recent days. At least 28 people have died and dozens of villages have been damaged or destroyed. One of the worst hit was the village of Maslovka, about 300 miles south of Moscow. About half the houses were reduced to ashes. Smoke from the fires are spreading to the cities, where residents have reported headaches and intestinal ailments. Despite police warnings, protesters in the southern Chinese city of Guangzhou held another rally today, calling on authorities to preserve their dialect, Cantonese. NPR's Louisa Lim reports.
Just 2 days after a police warning against any more pro-Cantonese rallies, crowds of people again gathered in Guangzhou, this time in People's Park. Videos on YouTube showed some protesters being carried away as columns of police marched into the park. Reports from the Hong Kong press say it was declared an illegal assembly and several Hong Kong journalists were detained. This issue shot to prominence after a local political advisory body proposed that television programs in Cantonese should be broadcast in Mandarin. Across the border in Hong Kong, where people also speak Cantonese, about 200 people staged a march. They wore T-shirts saying, "You want us to shut up? We will speak louder in Cantonese." Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
This is NPR News from Washington. NASA reports that one of two cooling systems aboard the International Space Station broke down last night. That forced NASA to shut down several power systems to avoid overheating. Officials say the crew is not in danger and repairs are underway. UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, has named 11 former convict sites in Australia to the World Heritage List. Stuart Cohen reports the sites join better-known Australian landmarks, such as the Great Barrier Reef and the Sydney Opera House.
Australians have had an uneasy relationship with their convict past. In the 1700s and 1800s, Britain shipped more than 160,000 convicts to the far-off penal colony that was to become Australia. For generations afterward, the convict stain, as it was called, served as a source of embarrassment. But now it's a source of pride, as UNESCO has recognized the cultural significance of places like the Hyde Park Barracks in Sydney, which was designed by a convict and built with forced labor, and the Fremantle Prison in Western Australia, where 40 prisoners were executed, and even Norfolk Island, where the brutality of the prison keepers was legendary and only the most incorrigible were sent as the ultimate punishment. Many of the sites are already popular destinations for tourists. Australia's culture minister hopes the designation will bring more. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
Three convicts are still at large after escaping from a prison in northwest Arizona Friday night. Officials say the men, all convicted murderers, had cut a hole through a fence, hijacked a truck, and forced the truck drivers to take them to Flagstaff about 2 hours away. There they abandoned the truck and released the drivers, who were not harmed. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.